Time for Tuesdays with Mitch. Tuesdays with Mitch. Everybody knows Mitch Langberg, constitutional attorney, legal genius at the Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm. Clients include Steve Wynn. Mr. Mitch, how you been, man?
I'm great, Andy. How are you doing?
That's weird, because during the break you were telling me that you felt like a machine and you weren't happy. Why the change of tone on air?
Now you asked me what's new.
Oh.
And I've also become tired of your criticism of how down I sound when you introduce me, so I'm working on things.
So you're projecting an image of enthusiasm.
You told me this is all a show.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. Now, Mitch, we're going to cover four stories. I'll go over the headlines, and then we'll break them down one by one. Does that work for you?
It does.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. So this first one is a case in front of the State Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. A homeowner, a woman bought a home from a real estate broker who failed to disclose that the home that she was buying was the site of a murder-suicide. So we're going to find out if a real estate broker has to tell you that a murder took place in the home you're about to buy. I find that very funny for some reason. Then next, we're going to talk about Lance Armstrong, and the head of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency said that Lance Armstrong lied again to Oprah Winfrey. We're going to play some clips and find out what you think about that. And could Lance Armstrong be held criminally responsible? Next, a widow of a man who committed suicide wanted access to his sperm the day after he died so she could use it for in vitro fertilization. What are the legalities behind that? And lastly, a filmmaker who used human feces in pornography has been arrested. We'll ask Mitch the First Amendment implications of that. Is that performance art, Mitch? Mitch?
Was that a question?
It was just dead air. You made me look like an idiot. All right. Well, we'll get your thoughts on performance art pornography at the end. Is that good?
Yes.
All right, Mitch. Yeah, when I cue you off with a question or the tone of my voice changes to signal you to respond, the normal reaction is to say something.
I know that you think that you use inflection sometimes, but it was just straight.
Okay, fair enough.
I get it. I apologize.
That's okay. Apology accepted, Mitch. Let's start out with this Pennsylvania homeowner. Once again, in front of the state Supreme Court, she bought a home for $610,000. We don't need to get into all the details, but after buying the home, she realized that none of the kids would visit her home around the neighborhood around Halloween. And then her own kids realized the story behind the home that she had bought, and that is a murder-suicide took place in that home. So this is like a haunted house. And so she took this to court. She said the real estate broker she bought the home from never disclosed the fact that there was this gruesome murder-suicide in the home that she had bought. And she thinks that that's a detail that should be disclosed. Just like if there's a leaky pipe, you have to disclose it. I kind of get this, maybe. Mitch, walk us through the legality here. Does a real estate broker have to disclose that a murder took place in the home that you're buying? Tell us.
You know, this is a controversial issue, actually, that isn't the same from state to state. There's a lot of variety in it. The first time that it came up, at least with a court, was in 1983 here in California. And a court determined that it was fraud not to disclose that somebody had died or been murdered in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through the standard elements of fraud, which are that there's some material fact that the other person knows you would be relying on, or by either telling them something false or by omitting it, and that you failed to tell them. And they said, well, anybody would want to know that somebody died in the house, particularly if they were murdered, and that is a material aspect of the house because it can affect the value of the property. And every state in their real estate law say you have to disclose things that might have a material impact on the value of the property. Now,
but is that in the eye, that being in the eye of the beholder, the real estate broker could say, hey, who cares if somebody's murdered there? And then the buyer, that could make all the difference in the world.
Right. So some states have now legislated it. So California now says if you know that somebody died or was murdered in your house, within 3 years of the time that you're selling it, you have to disclose it.
Okay, wait. But what if, Mitch, what if it's a criminal like Bernie Madoff's home? But he was not the last owner, but the owner before, and the home belonged to a mafioso type or something. Do you have to disclose that?
A mafioso type, but then nobody got killed?
Nobody got killed. It just belonged. But, like, I don't know if I'd want to own the home of, like, Sammy the Bull Gravano, you know? Because, like, what if he turns up and says, hey, I'd like my home back?
That's the problem. That's what one court said, that when you have these laws, it's like the camel's nose sticking into the tent. Where do you stop?
Right.
So some states have tried to legislate it, and so the California legislature overrode the courts and said, well, only if it's been 3 years. Some states, like in Colorado, it's absolutely clear.